Turn in your Bibles to the 23rd division of the Psalms. And let me apologize for the technological setup up here. I seldom use my computer, but because notes to which I want to reference this evening are not on a piece of paper, but on this computer, I'm going to use that this evening. I'm not trying to be novel by doing that. It's just something that will help me in the preaching of God's Word. I was working on my sermon right up until the end this afternoon, and I did not have time to print it or transfer it for you. I simply want to do a verse-by-verse exposition of the 23rd Psalm. I will remind you what one commentator has said, that the 23rd Psalm, of course, is the Psalm of the Valley. It is the Psalm of the Valley of the Shadow of Death. But from valleys, we can see mountains, can't we? And from the 23rd Psalm, on our left hand, we see the Mount Calvary. The 22nd Psalm, where Jesus said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And on our right hand, we see the Lord high and lifted up. In the 24th Psalm, and we hear angels say, "Lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in."
Yes.
Who is the King of glory? The Lord, high and holy is He.
Yes.
So though we might stand in a valley, on the left hand and on the right, the mountains of Yahweh, amen, Calvary and Zion. And Yahweh is the first word of the 23rd Psalm. Yahweh, Jehovah, is my shepherd. You should remember that Yahweh is the covenant name of God. Yahweh is the I Am who says, "I will." The I Am, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Not the I was, nor the I shall be, but the I am, who is the same yesterday, for today, and tomorrow. The I am, Yahweh, is my shepherd. Yahweh is also the I will. Remember the former things of old, for Yahweh is Elohim. And there is none else. There is no other God besides Him. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Our God, Elohim, Yahweh, is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Yahweh, the I Am, Yahweh, the I Will, is my shepherd. The Hebrew word for shepherd, ra'ah, is a word that is associated with vision, and we can easily conjure in our minds the vision of a shepherd in a green pasture upon a rocky slope beside still or boisterous waters, watching over his sheep. This idea is in the mind of Paul when he tells the elders at Ephesus to take heed unto their service as overseers in the house of God, watching for the flock of God. And the writer of Hebrews tells his listeners, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Obey them that have the rule over you. For they watch like shepherds. They watch for your souls, so that they may do it with joy and not with grief." The shepherd is he who watches. The idea of the New Testament shepherd is the episkopos. Epi, over or upon, skopos, like a scope. He who watches over or upon the flock of God. But the preeminent idea, the Hebrew word for shepherd here, is not the shepherd per se, but what the shepherd does. In fact, the translators of the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, did not make this a noun, the Lord is my shepherd. They made it a verb saying, the Lord shepherds me. And of course, the shepherd does shepherd. What does it mean to shepherd? The essence of the Hebrew idea of this term for shepherding means one who tends the flock. Take heed, take charge over the flock of God, Paul said to the elders, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The shepherds tend to the flock. Essential to this Hebrew word also is the idea of feeding. One of the most important jobs of the shepherd was to feed the sheep. And what an exhortation that is for us as pastors to feed the flock of God. To feed the flock of God, we better have fed ourselves. We better know where the pastures are as well. Yahweh, the I Am, the I Will, is my shepherd. He feeds me. He also leads me. Essential to that idea. And we'll talk more about the leadership of Yahweh as we proceed. Beautifully, the idea of a shepherd can also communicate the concept of a special and precious friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend you have in your pastor. And it was the good shepherd who said, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. We know there's a difference between a shepherd and a sheep, and no sheep could ever call his shepherd friend, at least not the way one human being could call another human being a friend. When the lion roared, or the bear prowled, or the wolf stalked, whether the sheep knew it or not, that shepherd was his friend. And that shepherd was ready to lay down his life for the well-being of the flock. Yahweh, the I Am, the I Will, is my shepherd. He tends me. Does he tend you? He feeds me. Does he feed you? He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort wrought. Where'er I go, where'er I be, my shepherd's hand thus leadeth me. The Lord shepherds me. Because I know that, the Lord shepherds me, I can also exclaim with absolute certainty, I shall not want. Now, the word shall there is not a term of futurity. That means I have something now, but later on I shall need something. I shall not want. No, it's a declaration of certainty. Because Yahweh, the I Am and the I Will, tends me, feeds me, leads me, nourishes me, I can declare with certainty that I shall not want. I have been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much better than they? And behold, the flowers of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, but not even in Solomon, in all of his glory, is arrayed as one of these. So if God so feeds the fowls of the air and clothes the flowers of the field, shall he not much more feed you and clothe you, O ye of little faith? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And you, like David, will be able to say, the I am and the I will is my shepherd, and of a certainty I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. A beautiful word in the Hebrew for green, as you would expect, denotes not only color, but fertility. Green is a symbol of fertility. The green grass, the green vegetation. Solomon's bed with his bride Shunammite was green. So also are the pastures in which the flock of God grazes. Now there's interesting kinetic imagery in the text. Kinetic meaning movement. Certainly sheep are on the move, often too much for their own good, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. I was a wandering sheep. I didn't love the foal. I didn't love my shepherd's voice. I wouldn't be controlled. Yes, I wandered like a goat, not knowing I wasn't, acting like I was. And I had a mind for my own pastures as well. But this shepherd is a shepherd who makes his flocks be still and know that he is God. He makes them lie down. That's an affirmation of the sovereignty of this shepherd over these sheep. He makes them lie down. Now we can think of lying down as an action of repose, peace, tranquility, stillness. Be still, he says, and know that I am God. We could conceive of it as rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I'm thankful God makes me be still, and he makes me rest in his ways, particularly in his merciful, tender ways. And he gives his beloved sleep, not sleep of body so much as ease of heart. And the ease of mind is the peace of God that passes all understanding. Like a shepherd over a flock, guards my heart and mind. And I can be still in soul when all this old world is reeling and rocking around me. But for the sheep who would wander, who will not be still, who will not lie down when the shepherd says, rest, here. The sovereign sway of his scepter is such that he can bring it with force over your life and make you lie down many other ways. He can make you lie down with adversity in your family. He can make you lie down with disease in your life. He can make you lie down with brokenness of heart. So what will you know from this shepherd who will make you lie down? Shall it be the gentility of the shadow of his staff? Or shall it be the firmness and unbending force of his rod upon your back? Well, whether it's the gentle shadow of the staff or the firm placement of the rod, in either case, the sheep will be thankful that he made me to lie down in a green pasture. And you know the story of the prodigal son who thought he knew where the pasture was. That's just like us. We look through that fence and through that fence. I saw a picture one time of four cows standing at four corners where two fences met. This cow's head was eaten over here. This cow's head was eaten over here. This cow's head was eaten over here. And this cow. They all were looking for better pasture. That's the way sin is. It makes us think that there's better pasture over there. But I know a fellow keeps a mule just to keep his place clean of briars and thorns. And I'm telling you, those other pastures are just full of briars and thorns.
Right.
You feed there, you'll become so hungry that you'll starve for something sweet and precious and real and sustaining. And the only place that is in the green pasture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The prodigal had all the money in the world. He went and wasted his substance with riotous living and woke up one day and found that though he had gotten what he wanted was nothing. And when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Thus says the sheep who's tired of feeding on the thorns and briars and husks and waste of this world. If you were to taste something that will forever settle your hunger, if you were to swallow something that forever will satiate your thirst, come see and taste that the Lord is good. He is the bread of life of which you may eat and never hunger, and he is the water of life of which you may drink and never thirst. Jesus is not just the shepherd, he is the green pasture as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. The Hebrew word for lead does mean to lead to refreshment. And I hope that you do know the efficacy of the Holy Spirit of God in your soul, who is like the rod and staff of Jesus, who leads you besides still waters and green pastures of grace, goodness, and glory. But the idea of the shepherd's leadership here is not merely a leadership to a destination, but it's a leadership that is by degree and station. We know that we are not yet on the other side. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We understand that though there's a sense in which we have already come to Jerusalem, which is above, we're also, in another sense, marching upward to Zion.
Yes.
And the Lord, our shepherd, leads us by stations and degrees. Now, I'm sure that when a shepherd leads sheep, sometimes they perhaps question or balk, manifest some stubbornness about why the shepherd would lead them here or there. And I dare say that there are people here this evening who are at certain stations in your life you're wondering, why has the shepherd led me here? Maybe you have trouble at work. Maybe you have trouble at home, trouble in your family. Maybe there are money problems. I'm sure every one of you could utter out some complaint to the Lord. If not now, I assure you, you will. Say, Lord, why have you brought me here? I imagine that's what Moses thought on the backside of the desert. Joseph in prison, David in the cave of Adullam, Paul in the Sistine prison, John on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus on the cross. Yes, he leads us to green pastures and beside still waters, but by degrees and stations and what we think are rocky paths and rough paths are wise paths to the shepherd who knows the way to the sheepfold. He leads me beside still waters. What a beautiful song that was you ladies sang. Shepherd of love, and then this one, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, and how those beautiful images blend here in the psalm where the gentle shepherd leads the sheep beside still waters. Now, if I were Mr. Spurgeon, I could preach a week on that image. Still waters. But if you think about what's contrary to still waters, the image becomes even more vivid. Jesus said that this world would be like the sea and the waves roaring. I'm so sorry you heard that about a little girl, 6 or 7 years old, who's an alcoholic. Or about the little baby who just died of cancer. I'm so sorry. The young men are dying in Iraq and are going to die on other battlefields before we live through the normal courses of our life. I'm so sorry. This whole world's reeling to and fro like a drunkard. I'm sorry that the stars are burning out. I'm sorry that it's a certainty from physical science that the sun one day will burn black as sackcloth of hair, and that the universe itself will come to a grinding halt. I'm so sorry that this wild universe is like the sea and the waves roaring, and the earth coursing through its dark ether is like a man intoxicated with wickedness. We're bent on self-destruction, and what the nations do not destroy, the individual determines to destroy by his own sin. Indeed, Jesus looked out on the multitude and his heart was moved for them, because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd.
Yes.
You've heard the falling cascades of misery in this world. You hear the waterfalls of woe in your newspaper and on CNN. You feel the torrent of terror in this world. We don't need the Noahic flood. We don't need that deluge to destroy us. We're drowning in wickedness and sorrow. But dear friend, for every child of God who can say, the Lord is my shepherd, the I Am is my shepherd, no matter what the world may be, the I Am is my shepherd.
Yes,
no matter what the world may try to will, the I Will is my shepherd. And he has led me beside still waters. The heart of the wicked is like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. But to my soul, God has said, stay ye proud waves. I've marked the boundaries of your salty brine by my decree, and I say, here, stay, proud wave, and no further. Peace be still. When by grace I was saved, my troubled soul was made to rest. This is the shepherd who says, peace, peace, peace. And this is not just the rhetoric of a word. This is the reality of a power in the soul. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. And of course, the probing question this begs is your heart at peace? Do you know the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Are the waters of your soul still? Because the Prince of Peace has raised the scepter of his sovereign sway, yea, the rod and staff of his shepherdhood above your soul, and said, peace. As he led you beside still waters, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The idea in the Hebrew there for restore is exactly what you would think in terms of restoration. He fixes my soul. The walls of my soul were fallen down. The gates of it were burned with fire. It was like a barren wasteland in which the cockatrice crawled, and the hyena howled, and the lion roared, and the wolf stalked. God built up the walls of this Jerusalem, sealed it with pearls, paved it with gold, slew the beast, broke up the fallow ground of my soul, planted the seed of God's holy word, watered it with the dew of heaven, shone upon it the sun of righteousness, and caused this desert to rejoice and blossom as the rose, and made this lame man jump as an hart. He restored my soul. That word for restore means to establish in a fixed and immovable capacity. I used to laugh when people would give invitations in Armenian churches and they would sing, I shall not be moved. Yeah. But that song belongs to us, does it not? He set our feet upon a solid rock and established our goings. He has restored our soul. He leadeth me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Interesting imagery in the Hebrew. The path is not a path that is unworn. It's not a path that's been newly trod. It's not a path that needs cutting away. This is a path of circumvallation. This is a path that has been often tread. The Shunammite says, where is my beloved gone? And the chorus says, if you know not, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Yeah. Yes. Upon the hills of Zion, in the valleys of Israel, even the valley of the shadow of death, there are well-worn paths. where the saints' feet have trod on before us. And beyond the hoof prints of the flock are the footprints of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The path of the justice is a shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Jesus Christ has led the saints of God from decade to decade, century to century, millennia to millennia, from the wilderness unto Canaan. And He still leads the saints of God today. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, because you've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye cry, Abba Father. If you ascend up into heaven, He is there. If you make your bed in hell, He is there. If you take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall His hand lead you, and His right hand shall hold you. He is the good shepherd, and gives His life for the sheep. His sheep hear His voice, and they know Him, and they follow Him. And the voice of stranger they will not follow, for they do not know the voices of strangers. And they never perish, because no man is able to pluck them out of his Father's hand or his hand. He leads them into well-worn paths of righteousness. The path of the elect of God is not just a path of providence, but is a path of righteousness as well. Let not him claim the providence of God who knows not the righteousness of God. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Righteousness is both an essential and a demonstrable attribute of the Christian life. We cast it in terms of justification. There is a sense, forensically, in which justification is accomplished by Jesus Christ for the elect of God at the cross of Calvary. And there is a sense in the eternal purpose of God that it justification was accomplished eternally, as Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Justice is accomplished experientially in regeneration, as we are justified by grace through faith. But let us not forget that the eternal justification of Almighty God in predestination, and the forensic and effectual justification of Jesus Christ in the cross of Calvary, and the instrumental justification of the elect of God at regeneration, manifest themselves demonstrably in a life of holiness before Almighty God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you claim to be a sheep of God, you will prove it by following your shepherd into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That doesn't mean the knee of Caesar only, or the knee of Nero, or the knee of Alexander, or the knee of Napoleon, or the knee of Cleopatra, or the knee of some earthly pope or potentate or prince. That means your knee. And you will bow your knee to the Son of God in one of two ways. You will bow it now in grace and mercy as you obey Him in repentance and faith and a life of holiness. Or you will bow your knee in eternity under the sovereign sword of the Judge of the nations. Who will smite you with the rod of His mouth. He leads His sheep into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He who has the name that is above every name will let no mere mortal shame the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take His name not upon your lips if you take it not upon your heart. Whisper it not if you live it not. Call upon it not if you obey it not. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But only he that doeth the will of my Father's which is in heaven. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. May we pray. Our Father, may those who are here this evening examine themselves whether they be sheep of the shepherd who restores souls, who leads His sheep into green pastures, who leads His sheep beside still waters, and who leads His sheep into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Dear Father, may every soul here ask himself or herself this question. Am I in a green pasture of grace? Am I in a still place of peace? And am I on a path of righteousness? And Lord, convict and convince that soul that only he or she who can say, yea, I am in the green pasture, beside the still water, and upon the path of righteousness. That only that soul can say, the Lord is my shepherd.